Hello, John.
I'm John.
I'm Mike.
And you're listening to All Yesterday's Parties.
Yes, you are. You have no idea how privileged you are to be listening.
You were nearly listening to Mike from the other side of a door.
Yeah, I kind of got trapped in John's toilet. That was...
in the bathroom.
Harrowing. Not in the toilet, yeah, in the bathroom. That was a harrowing experience.
So, I've now got a bleeding knuckle.
And a broken door.
Well,
not broken. The handle's been removed. And I had to use a butter knife to jimmy the door. It was some proper MacGyver stuff. It was brilliant.
It was very well done.
I was quite proud of myself.
I've
just stuck the knife in the door. Just welly it. Welly the bastard.
See, I wasn't the first to go Geordie.
That was only a bit Geordie. That was semi-Geordie. Anyhow, we've got actual stuff to talk about.
We have.
But before we talk about the actual stuff, let's firstly welcome back our guest recordist.
Yes.
Hello, guest recordist.
Hello, that'll be me.
Hooray!
Gary here. And I actually was sitting nearby while the whole toilet bathroom incident occurred. The highlight of the manoeuvre for me, if that's the right word, was John shouting to Mike through the door, through the bathroom door, "Can you pull on it a bit?"
Not the first.
I was going to get up and help until that time.
Actually, I want no more of this.
It is a two-man job. Well, anyway,
I had somebody in the other week from NPower coming in to fit a smart meter.
All right.
Which was all well and good. He was quite a pleasant conversational sort of chap. He took the electricity meter out with no issues. Mm-hmm. When he got to the gas meter, I said to him, "You might have a bit more trouble with that because there's like a whole ton of wires and all sorts of things coming out of that."
Mm-hmm.
He's a fellow from the Black Country, and he says, "I know a lot of people who would probably back away if they saw something that was a bit too difficult for them, but I don't like to give in. Luckily, you've got me in." I was like, "Okay, fair enough. Ease up, just, you know, do the fucking gas meter." Part way through the job, I was sitting down with a cup of tea, and I heard him get the old gas meter free of its moorings,
mm-hmm.
and I just heard, "Ed, you love me now, bitch."
Nice. Anyway, let's have a quick word about what you're drinking, John.
Yes.
It's one I've had before.
Oh, you've made your drink last a week.
Yes.
Yes.
I'm on something different, but you're drinking something that I have had before.
Ah, I am drinking from the White Hag Irish Brewing Company. It's the White Sow Oatmeal Chocolate Milk Stout.
It's rather lovely, isn't it?
It is rather lovely.
Very palatable.
It's got nitro in it.
No, apparently so. it is well nitro.
Yeah.
Right, I am on the Digital IPA by the Yeasty Boys.
Oh, I feel like this podcast has been sabotaged.
Oh! It's bloody nice and all. It's a New Zealand IPA.
Excellent.
So, gorgeous. A New Zealand India Pale Ale enjoyed in Newcastle-on-the-Lyme.
Marvellous. Marvellous. And
global community we have.
Yes. And...
I am once again drinking Nine Standards Porter from Settle Brewery, which is very nice. And if you want to know more about it, it's black and creamy with a heady mix of rich caramel and coffee.
Oh, aren't we all?
Settle. Yeah. Settle.
Stop it, John. It wasn't funny the first time. It's less funny now if I had to fight my way out of your bog. By the way, people at home, if you hear the sound of paper being cut and folded, that's because there's paper being cut and folded, and which will make perfect sense in a week's time when you hear the next episode.
Yes.
Which we're definitely not going to be recording when we finish this one.
No, absolutely not.
Of course not. That would be mad.
Before we get down to business, I have a headline that I've been sitting on this headline for several weeks now.
But it's right now.
Which is why I walk funny.
Yeah.
Are you ready for this?
Mm-hmm. Yes. Sorry,
yes. Yeah, we are.
We're ready, John.
Sex pigs halt traffic after laser attack on Pokemon team.
Oh, I've seen this.
Headline. I have seen this one as well. It
is
good.
It's a beauty, isn't it? Let's talk about sex pigs and Pokemon and laser attack. The whole remind us of the content, John.
Tiny Insone in central Sweden isn't known for pig mask wearing couples shooting lasers at Pokemon hunters before having sex by a water wheel.
But that could be about to change.
The sub-editor of that paper must have had an absolute... It must have gone into work going, yes! Now is my time.
I love the bit there that there are about seven factors in that sentence. It's just so if you were doing an internet search, the number of hits would go down and down and down. It's like at the end, buy a water wheel. That's the one. You get it down to a single...
There it is.
I mean, you know when you have...
That's my fetish.
You know when you have the best day at work ever? The people at the local newspaper. It was Friday night in the village of 2,000 souls when two teenage siblings wandered out with their smartphones.
The village of 2,000 souls?
Yes.
That's a
dark film.
That's a Japanese horror film, I think that is, from the early noughties. I've seen that one.
They've all got lank, greasy hair.
Yes.
Instead of finding Pikachu or Squirtle, they soon came...
they found Squirtle.
They soon came face to face in the park with a couple who must have seemed scarcely more real.
All right.
The teenager's mother... who reported the incident to the police, told newspaper Dalarnas Tidningar.
Say it again?
Dalarnas Tidningar.
Can you not...
Deliberately choose stories with unpronounceable names.
I was just thinking that. Do you like to challenge yourself, John?
Yeah. Every day in more ways than one.
No.
So the teenager's mother reported the incident. They wore rubber masks depicting pigs' heads and they started screaming and waving a green laser. A laser beam hit one of the teens in the face and the children rushed back home, shaken but luckily unharmed.
Mm.
The masked shooters, who also wore T-shirts labelled King and Queen, were next spotted by incredulous motorists as they had sex beside the hamlet's water wheel. Traffic backed up on the highway as some drivers slowed down and others clambered out of their cars to behold the bizarre spectacle.
Yeah. I'm sure that was a bizarre spectacle. Yeah, I think if a spectacle can be called bizarre, then it's definitely the water wheel.
But I mean, I have to say, all those weeks ago when we covered Pokemon Go and had a bit of a chat about the impending release of said game,
as it was at the time, which was also the
by the time the release episode came out,
it already been out for a fortnight.
Yeah. But
we did say at the time that it was just the tip of the iceberg. The stories that we were bigger than
just the tip.
Jesus Christ!
But when we first spoke about this game, we would not have imagined this story being one that we would read out.
Not this exact story. No. I think we're anticipating something of its ilk, but the so many exquisite details in that story I don't think anyone could have seen coming.
No. do you play Pokemon Go, Gary?
No. I don't.
You're not dabbled?
No, not this far. I have got this far through my life without bringing Pokemon into it.
You've never played a Pokemon game, is that
never.
It?
Never.
Good Lord.
No.
Yeah, I have played a bit of a Pokemon game. I had Pokemon Yellow. The Pikachu specific edition of the Pokemon Red and Blue, and I have to say the Pokemon games are actually really good.
Yes,
yeah, they're a proper decent little RPG with that whole collecting aspect. They're actually really well built games.
Yeah, absolutely. And I take it upon myself to keep kind of up to date with them, but I just just from afar.
They've just not.
That's fair enough.
Yeah, I mean I have to say they've not tickled my fancy enough. To make me think, I'll
put a pig mask and fuck by a water wheel too.
Oh no, I've done
my Pokemon jollies.
No, I've done that.
Oh, fair enough. Yeah.
I think that that's the thing. It's the water wheel in this story. I think that is it's the fact that somewhere somebody is going to go looking for stories about a water wheel or pictures of a water wheel, and they're going to get very surprised.
I just love the idea that they've just gone, right, so we've startled some teenagers, what next?
Well, my king. There is this water wheel I've heard tell of.
Excellent.
Yeah, that is a bit bizarre. So. I think we need to be, as we said before, that we do need to be wary of covering any stories that are very date specific. Yes. But they do kind of get out of date very quickly. Yes. And on that note, what did you think of the iPhone 7 launch?
I wanted a longer battery life.
And a headphone jack.
And a headphone jack. For all the things that people would like out of their iPhone usage, Bluetooth headphones was not under remit.
Well, it's Bluetooth headphones, that's also well and good, it's fine, it's a good thing, I know a lot of people use them. But it's the option to use Bluetooth headphones
that matters.
That's what people like, not having been forced to use them. Yes. Because they can't shove their headphones up their iPhone.
Arse. What? But have you seen them as well, though? They're just like two things hanging out your ears. They are not going to last 5 minutes.
No, I don't like the look of the ones that Apple are marketing at all.
No. Oh, I mean, what's going to... I'm kind of imagining a lot of sewage outlets just being crammed full of accidentally lost Bluetooth earphones.
Got another 50 of them. Oh, buff them up and put them on eBay.
Reconditioned!
What is the benefit of Bluetooth headphones anyway? Because generally speaking, Bluetooth makes... Unless you're in an area where there's really good Wi-Fi signal,
yes,
they're not wholly reliable.
The benefit of them is the lack of tangle. And that's about the only thing I can really think of.
No.
And, you know, I'll put up with having to untangle my headphones, you know, for a minute or so.
It's amazing the way that happens.
It is.
Isn't it?
Because you can Gordian knots got nothing on about headphones.
It's the whole paperclips in the drawer, isn't it? Yeah. How do they But let's face it, the tangle is only between your ears and your navel. If you're so busy that you haven't got time to untangle that amount of tangle,
I took my headphones out of my pocket once, and I had to spend 15 minutes trying to disentangle my house keys.
Brilliant. But I think you should have just accepted the fact that your house key is now part of your headgear.
Matt Tyra linked me to this tweet yesterday. So somebody's produced a Bluetooth Star Trek comm badge that you can take calls on. So that you can wear it and it works.
So is it like a speakerphone kind of thing? Almost. It talks out of the comm badge.
I think it does. So you'd have to be you'd have to be pretty damn sure that you're not going to get the results of a gynecological appointment.
Brilliant.
Yes, this is McLeod, go ahead. Well, we've had a really, really good look at your colon, and it's unnecessarily swollen. You're going to go, okay, that's fine.
Number one.
Oh, it wasn't a number one.
Anyway. Interject with an anyway there. It's basically my defence against John. Anyway.
talking too much about his colon.
Just talking too much. Anyway. Moving on.
Let's sting that daddy.
Yeah. Hit the right button that time and everything. It was fantastic.
That was beautiful. I'm proud of myself. I've grown as a human. Anyway, so this is kind of... this is a variation on a podcast thing we did a few weeks ago where we talked about bands that we listened to a long time ago and just sort of wandered, strayed away from slightly. Mm. And I mean, this is certainly true in my case a little bit. And this is a band that I know Gary likes. Gary and I have chewed over this band quite a lot over time. And
metaphorically,
metaphorically.
Is that your number one metaphor?
Number one.
Number one. So yeah, whereas it's actually a band that I don't know a great deal about. Yes. I know enough to know them. I know enough to know some of their songs.
Yes.
But not that many. So I'll be very interested. I'll mostly be sat here cutting up pieces of paper for a future event, but also making occasional pithy interjections.
Yes.
So Gary, introduce the topic of our conversation.
Okay, please. So it is a band that you have mentioned on a previous episode.
Yes.
And they're a Canadian band called Bare Naked Ladies. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And my kind of love affair, I suppose, with them goes back to when I first discovered them back in around about 91. Mm-hmm. So at that time I was working in radio, actually.
Oh, okay.
At a local commercial station to us here, not too far away.
Yeah.
And one of the jobs I had back then was to choose the... So I was just working there in the evenings.
Yes.
And so one of the jobs I had was to choose the chart records. Okay. Do you remember the chart?
Vaguely.
Yeah. Okay.
That sounds like something that used to exist.
Yeah. And the hit parade. We used to choose. So we had 100 playlist chart records each week.
Yeah.
And so I would surreptitiously put all of my favourite songs into the evening shows, which were generally the ones that didn't make the charts quite often. And the song that sticks with me from that period more than ever, and I heard this track, was a song called Enid by Bare Naked Ladies.
Hmm. Excellent.
Which is a track from their debut album, brilliantly entitled Gordon.
That was the name of my first ever band.
It was. And presumably for there's a Bare Naked Ladies link to that.
Yeah.
And so I discovered them. Then I saw a video of them on The Chart Show, which was a TV programme
that
I loved.
The Chart Show was brilliant.
It was fantastic.
It was faintly naff and brilliant at the same
time. Oh, no, yeah. The naffness of it was its brilliance as well.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
I discovered Crowded House through The Chart Show, because that was when Locked Out was released, and the video for that came out, and I saw it on there.
And for me, it was Billy Bragg. I discovered Levi Stubbs' Tears by Billy Bragg on The Chart Show, and that made me want to be a musician.
Yeah.
So The Chart Show's a heritage.
Important to all of us, I think.
Yes. Yeah.
As it should, well, it should be.
Yeah.
For gentlemen of a certain vintage.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And so I saw a video of them there. I then saw them on Glastonbury footage, I think, at that time. And I loved them. And I stayed with them. I managed to see them live for the first time in 1996.
Yeah.
And I saw them again for about the 12th time this week.
Wow.
So, although as this episode will go out in the future, many weeks ago I saw them.
Sometime in the autumn.
And during that period, they have changed substantially.
Yes.
They are not the band I fell in love with.
No.
And I still am I'm very fond of them. And even though the music now isn't necessarily the kind of music I would normally listen to.
Yeah.
I do listen to all of their albums. I buy all of their albums, and I still enjoy listening to them live.
Yeah.
In that period, there was also an event within the band. So one of the main songwriters, Stephen Page, left.
Yeah.
And I think that it's fair to say that Stephen Page is solo now. Bare Naked Ladies have continued as a four-piece.
Yes.
And that both of them are slightly lessened by the fact that they're not still together.
Yeah. It is a real shame when that happens.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But I think they both still produce valid music, although I think the most recent album from Stephen Page I was a little bit disappointed with.
Okay.
But generally speaking, I still love listening to their music.
Yeah.
And so I wanted to pick an album that you could listen to, and that I think John would have known this album. I don't know whether you did.
Mm-hmm.
But it's an album that was, again, is a slightly strange one within their canon.
Yeah.
Third album, after one member had left, and they were, for this album only, they were a four-piece.
It was one of the Cregan brothers.
Andy Cregan.
Andy,
yeah.
That's right, yeah.
He'd left, and so they recorded this album as a four-piece. It's the only one until recent events that was in that format.
Yeah.
And it just has a really nice rawness, and I just thought, It isn't the current lineup. Kevin Hearn joined immediately after this release, and I think that they became a better band because of that.
Yes.
So I feel kind of quite bad choosing a pre-Kevin Hearn album.
Yeah.
But this album for me is one of my favourites. So I thought I need to hand it over.
Mm. When I first started listening to Bare Naked Ladies, there were two things that struck me. One, I didn't know of any other bands at the time that had two protagonists, if you like.
Protagonists.
Mm-hmm.
Sure, one of them was an antagonist.
Mm.
Think about it.
Ed Robertson and Steve Page had two very different styles of songwriting.
Mm.
Ed Robertson leans heavy on the pop, heavy on the country, and can in turn write a really nice ballad. But I think what his shtick became in Bare Naked Ladies was the wacky pop hits.
Mm.
So, it kind of denigrates him to say that to an extent. But the songs that were singles, there was One Week.
Mm. And that's the one I think everyone... Mm-hmm.
That's the one everyone thinks of. When Everything to Everyone came out, there was another postcard.
Mm-hmm.
What was the one from Maroon?
From Maroon it was Pinch Me.
Pinch Me, that's right, yeah.
And also Falling for the First Time, which was another track on that album.
Yeah.
I think almost all of their single releases have nearly always have been Ed Robertson songs.
Which is why I wonder whether they had the feeling that they would be able to weather Steve Page leaving on that basis, mm-hmm. possibly. For me, I mean, I love the juxtaposition of Steve songs and Ed songs, because what Steve oh, his songs always also had a really good pop bit of pop nouse about them, but his subject matter was always a lot darker.
Mm-hmm.
There was a real depth of darkness to a lot of songs that Steve Page contributed to Bare Naked Ladies. I mean, for example, actually, what was the... Can I just look at the back of the CD in there? What was it?
You've got props today. Props. Listeners at home. Actual props.
I Live With It Every Day. There's shooting a friend in the face and a suicide attempt in this song.
And
brilliant.
And yeah, that's one of the reasons why I chose this album, because for me that's one of their best songs that I don't think they ever play live.
No.
And they certainly don't now that Stephen Page has left, but I don't think they ever played all that much. But
was
I love
that. Was there a particular... issue that led to him leaving?
He went a bit mad for a short while there.
Ah, right.
Prior to his leaving the band, there was an intoxicated whilst driving.
He left. So all of the band had been married for quite a long time,
mm-hmm.
and they all have children. And I don't want to use the term, but I will have to, just to try and point you in the right direction, of midlife crisis. But
uh-huh.
Certainly I think as they all hit about 40,
yeah.
Stephen Page left his wife of a number of years, hooked up with a younger woman, who then got into drugs and was caught intoxicated under the influence of drugs with her.
Yes.
And... Mm. Shortly afterwards, and I think Bare Naked Ladies have always put themselves across as a family-oriented band.
Yes.
They've recorded albums for children.
I've always got the wholesome vibe from them.
Which, interestingly,
like a They Might Be Giants kind of
absolutely.
Deal.
Yeah. Oh, and they do. They've recorded a Christmas album, which I think, and a children's album, which that They Might Be Giants have recorded children's albums.
Yes,
as well.
Quite a lot
so
of them. They
very,
probably do a lot of these.
Yeah. So, and Bare Naked Ladies recorded a brilliant children's album called Snack Time. And it's very similar vibe.
Yeah.
And I don't think that they could survive the negative headlines that gained. Mm. And I think they just...
It's kind of funny, because I mean, I disagree with their judgment on that.
Mm-hmm.
Because for all the content of Steve Page's songs throughout Bare Naked Ladies, which are incredibly dark... And there's a song called War on Drugs, which... yeah, it is. But it's more against... It's more a song about antidepressants.
Mm, okay.
And things like putting nets underneath bridges that are known to be suicide hotspots. And the essence of the song being, if somebody's determined to find their way out, putting a net under a bridge isn't necessarily going to...
I think there was a thing in... It's in China, I think, that some businesses actually started putting suicide nets around the bottom of their buildings.
Yes.
Because so many of their employees were throwing themselves out the windows.
Yes.
And it's like, oh, shit.
But
I can just imagine you're sitting at the desk and you're like, oh, there goes another one.
Yes. Boy. Immediately cheered up.
Grenade! Keep it away!
Fantastic. But I think Bionicle, like, considering some of the dark subject matter that Stephen Page has written about in the past, I think it's something that Bionicle Ladies could have weathered, because I think their dual songwritership, in fact triple songwritership, once Kevin Hearn started to contribute songs.
Can there be such a thing as too many songwriters in a band, do you reckon?
Ordinarily, well, potentially, yes.
Mm.
But
if you can control it, it's just keep it can rupture apart, can't it? But if you can control that, then yeah.
And BNL, I think, managed to do that.
Whether they would have survived anyway, Stephen Page apparently, and I've watched interviews from around that time that he gave, he didn't want to record the children's album. He kind of went along with it. He just felt it wasn't what they should be doing at that moment. And I think there was a kind of a breakaway of ideals or where they wanted to go at that time.
Kind of sounds like an implosion waiting to happen, really, that he was going to go off the rails even further.
Very possibly.
If he had to stay in that unit.
Yeah. I get the impression from Stephen Page's latest solo album, I think he's back with his wife from the liner notes. So there, I guess there's always the possibility that some of those kind of feelings have been worked through. And I know he's still very good friends with Kevin Hearn.
Yeah.
Although there's a song on the first album they recorded as a four-piece, the album's called All in Good Time.
Yeah.
There's a song called You Run Away, which is pretty vitriolic and very thinly disguised.
Yeah.
And so whether they can get over that, I still think there's the possibility they may play together again in the future.
I really hope so. It's funny, I think their last two albums, which is kind of a double album really, wasn't it? Army and Amen.
Yeah, and I know we've discussed this in the past.
Yeah. There's some really good songs across the two of those albums that if you joined them together would make one really good album.
Mm.
And then there'd be some pretty good B-sides.
Mm.
they recorded 29 songs for this project. Mm. And they released a physical album called Bare Naked Ladies Are Me, which had 13 tracks, and then 5 weeks later another album called Bare Naked Ladies Are Men, with something like another 14, 15. And then there was a couple of tracks they released on an EP, so it was 29 tracks in total.
Yeah.
And for me there's, and I do like the band, I like everything they put out, there's an awful lot of filler across
the two of them. Yeah,
and
typically the case with any kind of double album situation. I mean, strictly speaking, they just sound like a double album just released as two separate units. I know with the Fragile by Nine Inch Nails, I was listening to that. I thought this is a fantastic album, plus some guff. And if it had just been pared down slightly, then it would have been an absolute career-defining moment. And I know some people do regard it as that. I think they're looking at it through rose-tinted glasses and forgetting just how overlong it kind of becomes. But I think most double albums, a little bit of paring down and you'll get an absolute corker.
Yeah.
It's just...
it's difficult to do. And I think, actually, now I think about it, I wonder whether that's partial... like Mike was saying earlier, maybe a bit of fallout about having three songwriters is that you end up with a dearth of material and you've got to try and figure out how to distribute it.
I think you mean the opposite of the dearth, don't you?
I do.
Yeah. A glut.
A glut, that's the one. I was going to say that it's plentiful, but you know, that's not the word. Yeah, a glut of material. Thank God you're here. He's bloody useless.
One thing I like, and I don't know if you've had a chance to listen to this album.
I have not,
no.
Unfortunately.
There's one of the reasons I chose this album is because the thing that I think that Bionicle Ladies have always done so well in their songwriting, and maybe you won't appreciate this if you don't write songs, but is that they write a fantastic bridge section to their songs, and it's a really hard thing to do.
Yeah,
and they go off at kind of slightly bizarre angles.
Oh, I know. That's got to
call me calmly.
Yes.
And also break your heart on this arm. Three of the best bridges. And it is a real art to write those. And I hope that you don't have to be a songwriter to appreciate that.
I appreciate a bridge. I know when I've encountered a good one.
Yeah. I know that when I'm writing songs, it is really hard because you tend to write the melody, you write the verse and the chorus. That comes natural. And then trying to find something interesting to do in the bridge that isn't just repeat what you've already done or play it instrumentally. It's really hard. And they just come up with almost like another mini song.
Honestly, the mid eight for I Know is just amazing, and that's a wonderful example of Ed and Steve working together.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, I should say, yeah, they're probably middle eights rather than bridges on the certain, because they are fully formed kind of entities. In
oddly enough, I always thought mid eights and bridges were the same thing, but it was two different names. So am I wrong?
Well, I thought that as well, but I thought as you started calling it a middle eight, I thought I've got it wrong.
No. I think that's always just been my go-to term for the same thing.
Can a bridge also be like a pre-chorus as well?
Yeah, I think bridges are probably. I think you're right, John.
Right, because I always just call them pre-choruses.
So I think on this occasion you're not useless, as Mike said.
In your face!
Whatevs.
I think I'm the useless one here. Interestingly, the price sticker for my CD has just fallen off. And I can tell you that I purchased this from Mike Lloyd Music.
Lord.
Lovely. Interestingly, that it bought this when it was released, 1996.
Yeah.
You've probably seen this, but guess how much I paid for this CD album?
A brand new CD.
In 1996.
In HMV, that would have been like £20. But that's an HMV.
Yeah.
Oh, God.
I don't even think we had HMV in 1996,
well,
did
we? I think we might have had Our Price. Although,
I think HMV it was Mike Lloyd, Our Price, which became
W.H. Smith.
No, Our Price was in the arcade became Music Mania.
Ah, yeah, Music Mania in Hamley, yeah. Now, you see, I wasn't around this area when Mike Lloyd was still a thing.
Oh,
I know of it because my wife's from around here, so she's told me. She used to work in one of the Mike Lloyds.
Also, our manager used to work at Mike Lloyds. Our old manager from Music Zone, Craig.
Yep. So I don't know what their pricing structure was like. I don't know if they're reasonable.
I considered Mike Lloyd to be reasonably priced at the time.
At the time.
And maybe the
same. That's very telling.
At that time, you want to have a guess? More a history quiz than anything else, really. Because I think it shows something about...
I'm going to guess it's something around the £13 mark.
Okay. Did you see the price on this?
I didn't see the price. I'm going to say £11.99.
No,
it's about £12, though.
So I...
Don't piss about with me, sir. Don't piss on my leg and tell me it's raining.
I would have guessed around about £12.
Yeah.
£14.49.
Ooh! Down AC, that's interesting. Not just because it's actually more than what I said, which I thought already was quite a high price.
Yeah.
But also the 49 pence. That's the really interesting thing about that price.
Yeah. What maths has gone into that?
49 pence. Oh, but
I think you'd struggle to pay £14.50 for a CD of anything anywhere now, wouldn't you?
Most places seem to be around about £8 or £10 these days, unless it's a double CD.
What I found very interesting when I was checking out Andrew Bird from that previous episode from
last week,
5 years back,
before you were
trapped in the toilet for a whole week.
Isn't that not the sequel to the R. Kelly mini opera?
Yes. but the whole Andrew Bird thing. What was interesting, what I was used to seeing on Amazon, it was originally my intent to get the MP3 version. Just for convenience sake. And I discovered that the hard copy CD version was the same price.
As the
MP3 version. They were both £9.99.
That is strange.
It blew my mind.
How
I was expecting like the album to be like £10 and the MP3 ones maybe be £8.
Yeah.
Blew my mind. So I just got the hard copy version, which came with an MP3 version anyway. So,
yeah. Is this? I suppose the end has been happening for CDs for a while, but is it really now that is this their concerted effort to eradicate that format now. So.
Kind of like Apple's concerted effort to eradicate normal headphones.
Yeah.
It's interesting because I've found recently that I've been buying album, like physical copies of albums. I've been more likely to do it from the artist's website than I am through Amazon. So,
I've been getting Bandcamp like an absolute demon. I love Bandcamp.
Yeah,
yeah.
It's been interesting actually because I think the Shearwaters album, Kathy Davies' new album, which came out yesterday that I've just bought, all of these things, they're offering more interesting deals via the artist's website for buying CDs than generic retailers.
And then you get stuff like Pledge Music and Kickstarter and things like
yes.
that.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I do, I have purchased albums in that way a few times.
Yeah.
And I think it's hard to find out about those things sometimes unless you're regularly on Kickstarter. But
yeah.
Mm. Or you follow the artists on Twitter or something. You know,
yeah.
I think it was through Ginger Wildheart of the Wild Hearts that I discovered the whole kind of pledge thing. So it was this 555% album. The triple album. You know, we're talking about how we're double albums have a lot of fella.
Yeah.
Oh, Lord!
I'm guessing somewhere around about three times as much on that on a triple album.
In fairness, there's a lot of great material on that. But, you know, given that they also released that was a pledge specific thing. Mm-hmm. They released for wider consumption a one CD version called 100%. So that's fair enough. He did pare it back. He just released everything to the people who pledged for it.
just as a slightly interesting diversion, what's the most difficult double album you've ever had to try and work through?
I haven't actually heard that many double albums.
Yeah.
Enough for me to have formed that opinion that they need to pare it back slightly.
Mm. Does anybody release true double albums? In years gone by, it would have been gatefold vinyl, but do people actually record double albums now?
I know Eels did. Eels did Blinking Lights and Other Revelations.
Yeah. They did, yeah.
The only other
That's
one
not could, difficult at all. That's quite a good...
The one that was the difficult one, this is the only other double album I can actually remember coming out and actually seeing with my own physical eyes... is Red Hot Chili Peppers released a double album.
Oh, Christ, that Stadium Arcadium.
May as well have been called the Brown Album.
That was so very, very bad. That was all filler.
Not an album I'm familiar with, not a band I'm particularly familiar with, apart from hit singles, I'd say. But I thought that got kind of good reviews, did it not?
They always possibly seem to get good reviews from certain sectors. Well, Q magazine always gives them good reviews. But I don't... Aside from maybe Blood Sugar Sex Magik, I don't think there's been a single one of their albums I've actually enjoyed. But their singles are storming. I love their singles. Mm.
When they released By The Way, it was a great album up to a point.
Mm.
And there's one song that I can... Every time I hear it, I think... That should have been the last song on the album, and then there's another four or five.
Yeah,
because you enjoy it fine up to a point, and then it just oh god, make it stop.
The thing of other double albums, I mean, there's Smashing Pumpkins, Melancholy, and The Infinite Sadness, which I actually have the triple vinyl version of.
Possibly should have managed. I had that on cassette.
Oh, nice.
I know you're a big fan of cassettes. I mentioned on a previous episode.
We have talked about the cassette.
Cassettes, they had their place.
They did. They were slightly cheaper. That was the place that they had.
That was exactly the place. I don't know why they've come back into vogue. And being sold in there some cases very expensively.
Yeah, there are a few bands who are recording and releasing cassettes. Albums and cassette singles.
If you delve into the really, really hipster sections of Bandcamp, you will find cassette EPs.
There's a lot of lo-fi kind of stuff going on cassette.
And there's just people who actually, they'll hunt out rare blank media. Just blank cassettes.
C-120s!
These are like really rare, because they're still just about in existence.
Yeah.
And... apparently they make a really warm sound, bunny ears. And they're selling their recordings for ridiculous monies on these cassettes. And then you can get the EP as a download for £5. And like,
oh, God. I was in
just stinky bleeding cassettes and shit.
I was in the local HMV the other week, and they had the Star Wars Force Awakens soundtrack on cassette.
Really?
Really?
Yes.
In HMV?
Yes.
The cassette in HMV?
Yes.
What?
It was the only cassette in the building.
I didn't think there was kind of, let's call it mainstream stuff being released on cassette. I'm really amazed.
No.
What next? They're going to be releasing on Betamax? video singles. They were a thing for a while.
Mini disc, I think we're going to get
mini disc, yeah.
Mini disc and fucking laser disc.
Right. I've still got a mini disc player somewhere.
Nice.
Nothing to play on it, of course. but...
You need to
I want the Star Wars Force Awakens on mini discs.
I think you need to get Reef's first album because they were the band that advertised mini discs, weren't they? With Naked.
Yes,
I remember that. I remember them sat there in the office of that big kind of recording studio guy, and he throws it out the window, and then the kid on the skateboard goes past and picks it up and puts it in his mini disc player. And goes off because he's awesome because he's on a skateboard. Because that was the 90s.
I'm waiting for Sixpence None the Richer to reform. And
you might be alone in that.
When release an album on wax selling.
Yeah, I was going to say, 8-track cartridge, that's it.
Wow. Oh, great, I've got something to play on my Master System. Anna Managuchi, when they did their pledge thing, they released a bunch of rare materials and kind of source sounds, you know, a lot of stuff on NES cartridge.
Oh wow!
Isn't that a coffee machine? Releasing our latest single on coffee pot.
Drink our music.
Starbucks are gonna love it.
Drink our music. I think we've found the future there. And I think at that point, I think we need to stop.
Yes.
And I'm going to lock myself in the toilet for another week.
Right, so to sum up, Bare Naked Ladies, absolutely love Bare Naked Ladies.
Double albums, overrated.
Yeah.
Born on a Pirate Ship is a really good album, and there's so many different levels of music on there. When I Fall is on it,
yeah.
Which is a wonderful little acoustic track.
About suicide.
Fantastic. One of those sort of office block window cleaners.
Oh, yes. Ah, I see.
But yeah, and you mentioned Break Your Heart earlier, and that's
a painful song about relationships, about staying in a relationship, that because it's easier to stay in a relationship than it is to end it.
It's
interesting.
And again, the quality of Steve Page's delivery on that song is, and I mean, if I'm just gonna just go back up to saying how great Steve Page's songwriting is. Tonight is the night I fell asleep at the wheel.
Which is, again, amongst their finest moments. Look, the whole lot, I would recommend you check out more or less any album from their history, including the latest three. They still merit listening. They're still great. I think Bare Naked Ladies are me, are men. I would leave that till the end. But generally speaking, I love absolutely everything they've done.
Yeah.
And it's kind of, I'm biased because it was one of the bands that I first loved.
Yeah.
And it's kind of that love that stays with you.
There's nothing wrong with being biased to one of your first love. But I don't know, we've been all through that in a previous episode.
And you forgive them a lot more than you would forgive other
acts. You really do.
Yeah, yeah.
They've earned your forgiveness. They were very important to you.
Hmm.
I think so.
Yeah.
But I would echo Gary's sentiment that in so many ways they're not the band that I fell in love with, and I've found subsequent releases difficult to listen to for that reason, because I miss Page's harmonies, I miss his songwriting, I miss what he adds to the mix. But that is, again, not to denigrate Ed Robinson, because I think he's a great musician, I think he's a great songwriter, but I miss it in relation to, like, he's the yin to Steve Page's yang.
That dynamic is definitely what is missing now that they went, when they went their separate ways.
And yeah.
It's a shame that, let's say, they both still produce, I think, music of a quality that is pretty high.
Yeah.
but they would have been better together.
Yeah, better together.
Aww.
Yeah.
That was nice.
Thanks, Brexit.
Yeah, I was just thinking that. That's only familiar.
Right. Well, we'll...
sting our asses, John.
We'll do.
All of our asses.
Yeah. Nay. You have been listening to All Yesterday's Parties.
Hello!
Yeah. The music is by Attack of the Vapors, and the podcast is hosted by Audio Boom.
And the toilet doors are broken by me.